It's time now for the Sports Objective Podcast. No talking heads, just guys who love sports. Here's Dave Richmond.
Welcome into the Sports Objective Podcast. We've got a very special show as we have our Daytona 500 preview. We got a very special co-host tonight. He has his own show, Talking Racing, with Mike Ray on the Sports Objective Network. Mike Ray, man, I appreciate you coming on with us.
Thank you so much for having me this evening, Dave. You know, Daytona's right around the corner. Day after tomorrow, Xfinity will be out on the track tomorrow afternoon starting at 2 o'clock. And then the Daytona 500 will roll off sometimes between 1 and 2 on Sunday afternoon. Sitting here right now watching the truck race. And late in the event with five laps to go, Ben Rhodes from Tennessee is leading the event. The number 16 truck, last year's champion, Hill is in that this time. Gus Dean is running third. And good old Matt Crafton and Joe Nemechek are rounding out the top five spots. So great.
Front row Joe still driving?
Front row Joe is doing a well of a job tonight.
Does he still qualify real well and then not win?
He's in his own truck tonight.
Okay.
So then he's got a young lady is driving the number 8 truck that his son drove last year. So
okay. Now, is he full-time in the truck series?
No, sir, not any longer. He used to be. And then when his son started coming up, then he turned the seat over to him. But he still likes to get in there and run once or twice a year. And then this young gun in the Carolina Nut truck, Ben Rhodes is leading right now, and the laps are going down, four laps on the board now. So it'll be a great show this evening, getting everybody wound up for Daytona.
Now, what position do you think Nemechek's in? I might turn it on if he has a chance to win it.
Nemechek is driving his own truck, truck number 78, and he's running in fifth spot right now. And then Ben Rhodes is leading.
Okay,
so getting ready to.
Yeah, I want to bring in.
Go back to green flag. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I want to make sure I bring in Kyle from LaGrange Barber and Bubba Rosenbaum. Bubba's a huge NASCAR fan, right, Bubba?
Yeah, I'm willing to learn.
Yeah.
That's what, like we were joking before I came on the air. That's what I told. I was telling Kyle that I'm glad we have Mike on so he can enlighten me.
And by the way, folks, I want to remind you that for the Sports Objective, Mike was on last year and such a great guy, and we wanted to spend the show off, so make sure every Monday we have a new episode of Talking Racing with Mike Ray. We started at the beginning of the year, so second podcast now for the Sports Objective Network, and so we're very excited. Mike wanted to do a show, and we're very excited that he wanted to go out there on his own, and we're glad to have him on where we can cross-promote the Sports Objective and Talking Racing with Mike Ray.
Mike, well, first of all, for those of us, catch us up on what's going on with the 500 Sunday. I mean, a lot of us, you know, like I said, I don't keep up with NASCAR like I used to. If you have it in front of you, if you remember, can you give us 1 through 10 in the qualifying positions for the 500?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Things are looking good for the 500 coming up Sunday. On the pole, 24-year-old William Byron won the pole this past Sunday for the 500. On his outside, we'll have to pull up some stuff here, but on his outside was teammate Chase Elliott.
Yep. Bill Elliott's son.
It's Bill Elliott's son. Chase is doing very, very well. He's starting on the outside row. And then yesterday, we did the 125s. So they pick drivers. They set the field for the 500 Sunday's race with the way that the two duels ran yesterday.
Oh,
Kevin
wow.
Harvick won the first duel.
Yeah.
You know, Dave, you told me the other day that Harvick was going to... was a Vegas favorite,
Yeah, he's
looked
the one.
Strong yesterday.
He's the one that the boys in Vegas say are going to win the Daytona 500, and I think he's a really good driver. I've always liked him, and so that's.
So Harvick won one of the twin 125s, and he's starting third?
Yes, sir. Harvick starts third, and then the other winner of the 125. Let me pull this up real quick here. I've got it pulled up on the truck page this evening. And I'll run down through the whole field for you guys because it's going to be a great 500. It's a
great way to start the season.
Huge show.
Yeah, it's a great way to start off the season. I mean, when you think about motor racing, the Daytona 500 and the Indianapolis 500, the Indy 500 are the two big ones of the year for motorsports. Wouldn't you say, guys?
Yeah, obviously Daytona is a big one for NASCAR, and then for open wheel, obviously Indy 500, and then, you know, after that, you know, I guess it still is. Back when I used to watch it, you know, all the your two Talladega races were always huge, and then the Pepsi 400 or whatever it's called now, your second Daytona race is always a big deal, and the Coke 600 in Charlotte, and your Super Speedway races, you know, Brickyard 400, always were the ones that kind of landmark the season, you know, with apologies to Bristol, because I don't know, again, Bristol used to be really popular, and of course Darlington, I don't know, Mike, what is the order now of prestige? Is it still like it was after the 500? I mean, what would be the number two race now in terms of prestige to win?
Well, now, as far as the number two race to win, it'd probably be the Brickyard 400, that race still holds a lot of prestige behind it. Or
yeah,
maybe the World 600, the Coca-Cola
yeah.
600,
yeah,
still holds a lot of prestige. As far as the next race on the schedule, next week we go from Daytona to Atlanta. So that'll be the quickest track on the speedway. So a lot of stuff going on. I was sitting here pulling up the pulling up times and everything and looking. I'm going to have to go in to the NASCAR.com. I've got the results pulled up from practice four today, and Paul Menard was the quickest this afternoon.
And where he qualified.
Yes, sir. In the 21, this was after they've already set the field.
Right.
And this was one of your last practices. They will practice again tomorrow at noontime. That'll be the last time they practice before Sunday's 500.
The Wood Brothers still run full time, Mike?
Wood Brothers are still running. We lost Mr. Glenn a few weeks ago.
Yeah, he passed
away. The Wood Brothers are back on the schedule full time, yes, sir.
Okay.
And Leonard is in Daytona and looking good.
Who's driving for the Wood Brothers now?
Well, you know, the two sons are running the Wood Brothers now.
Okay.
So then the horsepower is coming from those powerful Roush 8 engines. Those things are a monster. All the Ford camp is running those.
Yeah.
This really should be a great race Sunday.
Well, you know, Mike, I wanted to ask you a question because I know that the Mustangs are going to the Fords. By the way, Kyle, you know, when we were growing up, Ford stood for first home race day.
Right.
Fords have had a little bit of a slump. Not, I mean, I know Joey Logano won last year, but they haven't had the dominance like they used to. It seems like it's a lot of Chevrolet over the last, I don't know, decade. I don't want to speak out of turn, but.
So Ford's running the Mustang now. What is Chevy running? Camaro or what?
Yeah, Chevy's running a Camaro now.
And
yeah,
what
so,
about
and Toyota?
Challenger? Or is Dodge still in it?
No, sir. No, sir.
About
not
Toyota.
Long. Dodge hadn't
Toyota
been in it in a while. Most of that camp went to the Ford camp.
Okay.
Yeah. But they also, I understand that Toyota, I don't know if you can talk about it, Mike. Toyota's bringing out the Supra.
Yes, sir. I was gonna mention that because Toyota is bringing out the Supra this year, which I've had some people say that it looks like a Mustang front end, but there are slight differences in the cars and in the power plants. If you look at the way the top 10 is, William Byron is starting on the pole for Hendrick Motorsports in a Chevrolet. Alex Bowman is starting in second spot in a Hendrick Motorsports Chevrolet. In third spot, Kevin Harvick in a Stewart Haas Ford. And then Joey Logano, he won the second qualifying race yesterday. Logano was strong, pulled a move on the last lap coming down the back straightaway. It pulled out and was able to get by Clint Bowyer with help from the young Blaney, and he pushed Logano up into the lead. Ricky Steinhaus starting fifth in a Ford. Clint Bowyer starting sixth in a Ford. Paul Menard starting seventh in a Ford. Eric Almirola starting eighth in a Ford. Matt DiBenedetto, I believe that Matt is driving for Toyota Camp this year. So that's the Toyota Super starting in ninth place. And Denny Hamlin is rounding out your top ten positions in tenth for Joe Gibbs Racing. But you know, guys, at Daytona, you can start at the front or the back nowadays with the cars being so equal. And have a good shot at winning the thing.
Yeah, what about the...
Go ahead, Dave.
I was just going to ask about Jimmie Johnson having a new crew chief this year. I guess we have to call him seven-time, but will seven-time have a chance to go for the record-breaking eighth championship?
Well, seven-time could if he'll stay off of people's left rear fenders. Yeah, he started a big,
last week, yeah.
He started a big crash last Sunday. And then he got all up into Lord have mercy. My boy Newman. Ryan Newman,
yeah.
Yes, he got up into Newman, but Newman didn't lose it yesterday. So they got things straightened out but Jimmy hit something's going on there. He was just missing his judgment just by a little bit. And these new cars, if you get on the left rear wrong, you can definitely take somebody out. It just sucks you right up into the car, and you can take them right out.
Wow, so the body styles, are they different this year? Is that what everybody's talking about?
Yeah, the body styles are different this year. The Ford Mustangs are new. The Toyota Supers are new. One of my friends down in South Carolina, the Black Tire Stores gentleman out of South Carolina, they spent $25,000 on their bodies alone last year, and the bodies have changed just enough that it's made those bodies obsolete, and those guys don't know if they'll be able to compete this year or not. I hope they come to Darlington.
Oh, man.
Be close to their home, but yeah, the bodies have changed this year. So,
are there anybody that you're looking for, like the maybe some surprise? I know Kyle, like guys we can root for that don't stand a. Most people would say don't stand a chance, but they could surprise people on Sunday.
There are surprises that could happen. Starting in ninth position, Matt DiBenedetto. I'm sure that I destroy his name every time I see it. He's running for a nice family out of Texas called the Levine Family Racing, and he could be a dark horse added into the mix. As long as you're there for the end of it, it's like I'm watching this race now play out, Dave, and cars and trucks are slowly chipping away. Hill is leading now. Crafton is up to second. And Spencer Boyd is running third. So anything can happen at Daytona. You never know until the checkered flag flies.
We'll continue our great conversation with Mike Ray, of course, the host of Talking Racing with Mike Ray on the Sports Objective Network. But right now, let's go to Jeff Carr, who is actually, he's been a number of Daytona 500s. We'll talk to him about his career a little bit with East Carolina, but mostly about NASCAR and what he's up to now. And let's do that interview.
Very excited about the great
race at Daytona 500 coming up this Sunday. And with us right now, a very special guest, don't we have, Bubba?
Yeah, we have a guy who's certainly no stranger to Pirate Nation. He was an excellent linebacker in the mid-90s, excuse me, the late-90s, I should say. He was part of that 1999 team that produced a memorable win over Miami at NC State's Carter Finley Stadium. Now we're very excited to have with us a guy who went on to a long career in NASCAR as well, Jeff Carr. And Jeff, welcome into the show.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. One of the best linebackers of all time at East Carolina, but we're talking now about you've got many different lives. You're kind of like a cat, right?
Yeah, exactly. I hope I don't die and lose any of them.
No. We wanted to have you on and talk about the Daytona 500. I know Bubba just told us you participated in 15 of them. Can you give fans right now listening, especially race fans, what's it like going into this weekend? I know it's very hectic with a two-week period down in Daytona, right?
Yeah, there's a lot going on down there, and you've got kind of the first of the year jitters. That race is different than any other race you do, the way the car is set up. So a lot of people don't know it, but those race cars that you use for the restrictive plate tracks are totally different cars than we use on any other course, and they're difficult to pit as well. They're one of the tougher pit stops that you do all year, and for that being your first one, it makes it even worse.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. The line went silent. I didn't know what was going on. Jeff, when you worked in the pits, what did you do primarily? I remember one time you were gas can man, weren't you?
Yeah, I worked as a jack man there for about 12 years, and the last 3 years of my career, I was a gas man.
Okay. What's your favorite memories of going down to Daytona over the years?
I think for memories, it becomes a job after a while. I know a lot of people see it as a sport, but I mean, we saw it as a job because we had to show up for 39 races out of the year, and that's
right.
39 weekends that you're leaving your house at about 4 o'clock in the morning. So honestly, you got about one eye open a lot of times. We had a great time while we were there, and Michael Waltrip, I remember we finished second in the Daytona 500 with him, and then we won the summer race that we do in July there, the July the 4th race. We won that one with him before as well. So those are good memories from Daytona.
Were you there when Dale got killed?
No, I wasn't. I wasn't there at that time. I came in the year right after he got killed, and I was training with them.
Okay. All right. You were one of the first. I know now it's pretty common to have former college football players on those pit crews, but you were kind of with that first group that was doing that, weren't you? You guys kind of started that.
Yeah, Big Ed and I were kind of the first ones that came in as former athletes, and that was a good time, and we enjoyed that, and we kind of changed a little bit of the way that they do recruiting on pit road, and now it is a recruited job, so it's a special job to where you only bring in athletes for that now, where it used to be the mechanics would just come out from basically from working under the car all morning long, and then they would pit the race car, and now it's turned into a specialty.
Yeah, so I guess having guys with athletic backgrounds, you're in better shape to do things fast, you know, like handle the jacks and the gas cans, and you're also coming from an athletic background, you're used to working as a team, you know, and as a pit crew, you have to work together.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. We had to do a lot of things and efficiently and do it fast, and then making judgment calls quickly, I think, is another thing, because you got a lot of people, they can go out there and they can do the job, but when something else happens, you got to be able to figure a way out of a tough situation when it happens on pit road, because it's not an easy job. Everybody makes it look easy, but I've had a few folks I've taken over to practice before being NFL athletes, and they've had trouble doing the same thing. So it's not only just being an athlete, and what we used to tell everybody is nobody grows up playing pit crew, so you got to work your way into it, and you got to train for it, and you got to be ready for whatever's going to happen.
Now, you mentioned Michael Waltrip. Who else did you pit for, and in terms of which drivers and what car owners did you work for?
Yeah, I've Martin Truex Jr. for a long time. I started out in the first 2 years with him there after I went for Michael Waltrip, and once he started his career, we were there with him during that time. Won 2 Busch championships with him. And also went over to, from there I went to Hendrick, and also Let's see. Ryan Newman over at Stuart Haas went to Hendrick and did Casey Kane. We also went over to Michael Waltrip Racing after that. We worked with, let's see, we had, there was a couple drivers that we had there. It was Brian Vickers, and he ended up getting sick, so we had another one to come on right after that. But we've had a good story career. It's been fun and enjoyable and made a lot of money doing it. Time to move on.
Did you have much interaction with the drivers? I mean, like Michael Waltrip or Ryan Newman. I mean, what was your personal interaction like with those guys?
Yeah, I mean, we don't spend a lot of time with them, but yeah, we've had some personal interaction with them quite a bit. Used to train a few of them in the weight room. Some of them would come in, they'd do some things outside of racing with you. We'd go on go-kart tracks and do a few things there. And most of them are good guys, and then I wouldn't have anything negative to say about any of them that I've worked for.
Not even Newman?
No, not even Newman, man. He's a good guy. He lives here in Statesville, actually.
Does he really? Okay.
Yeah.
It's funny, Jeff, you bring that up as far as you and Big Ed being some of the first ones as far as the trend of former football players going into that line of work and pit crews and those sorts of things. I know it was a Dustin Lineback that played linebacker for ECU during the Skip Holtz era. He and I think it's Kyle Tudor, there have been a whole string of them.
Yeah, Dustin was one I actually trained to bring into the sport, and it was funny because we trained him initially to be a tire carrier, and out of the blue one day he asked me if I could show him how to jack a race car, and I said, yeah, absolutely, and we spent quite a few weeks showing him how to jack the car as well, and come to find out they did away with one of the tire carrier positions, and now he has become one of the most highly sought after jackmen / tire carriers on pit road, so he's doing very, very well right now.
And like you say, there's so much timing and just preparation that goes into it. A lot of if you don't know anything about NASCAR, you don't realize how involved and detailed it is, because I had the opportunity to visit Joe Gibbs' facility back at the beginning of the school year. We had a professional development session there just talking about leadership and so forth, and that was a very eye-opening experience for me. I knew some of these things, but as someone who doesn't follow NASCAR very closely, a lot of it, well, I mean, just seeing the weight room and then kind of the practice pit, if you will, and then out back where you had a track and tire flips and all those things that the pit crew does to get in shape and make sure they're ready to go.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a full-time job, no doubt.
A couple of interesting notes here. I don't even know if you're aware of, with your ties to East Carolina, and I don't know if any of these guys ever spoke to you about this. Were you aware that Jeff Hammond played football briefly before he was injured at East Carolina?
Yeah, I was. He talked to me before or after one of the pit crew competitions, and I think he had seen that I played there as well, so he and I had a brief conversation about that one time.
And another guy that was recruited to play at East Carolina then decided to get into racing because of his family legacy was Kyle Petty. He was going to come play football here. Yeah, I guess you weren't aware of that. Yeah, he recruited to play ball at East Carolina and then decided he kind of had, I guess, good ties there to NASCAR and decided to race instead of going to college. His original plans were to go play football at East Carolina and become a pharmacist.
That's interesting. Next time I see him, I have to say something to him about that.
Yeah, it's funny you bring that up, Kyle. I had forgotten about him potentially coming to ECU as a walk-on, I guess you said it was. But
yeah,
I do remember him being a tremendous quarterback. I believe it was at Randleman High School. So.
Yep, correct.
Yeah, that's neat.
Jeff, we really appreciate your time and just a little behind-the-scenes perspective at what it's like to take part in the Super Bowl of NASCAR, if you will. So great catching up with you. Before we let you go, obviously we had a change in as far as head coach with ECU football. What are your thoughts on the hiring of Mike Houston?
I mean, I'm excited. I mean, just like anybody, I think we just all just want to win. So it's at the end of the day, you've got your growing pains. I understand that. And it's a tough job to have as far as a head coach, but at the end of the day, it's all about wins and losses, and I think that's how you're all evaluated, and as long as you do a good job with the players on the team and do a good job in the win-loss column, I think you're going to keep a job for a long time. And from what I understand, new coach has got a great perspective on that, so hopefully we can keep it going. It's power of pride.
Any thoughts on Coach Shane coming back?
Yeah, that's great, man. Love to have him back. I'm into whoever can win. That's the biggest part.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once a competitor, always a competitor, right, Jeff?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right.
Well, thanks, man. I appreciate it. And how can people get in touch with you? I know you do a lot now with financial planning. We love to Pirates, supporting Pirates. How can people get in contact with you if they want to find out more?
Yeah, email or a telephone call, either way. But if you just look me up and you can Google search me with Jeff Carr at Thrivent, T-H-R-I-V-E-N-T. And like I said, that's the quickest way to find me. You got an email there that you can get in touch with. And I would love to help anybody out who needs help with financial planning.
All right. Well, I hope they will. And thanks, man. Appreciate
my
it
wife.
Very much.
What's that? My wife could use some help with financial planning. Just a little joke. All right, Jeff. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it, man.
All right, guys. Have a good day. I appreciate the call.
You too. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, let's continue our conversation now with our racing expert on the Sports Objective, and that's Mike Ray. Again, he has his own show now. As we started, he and I started our own show on Mondays, where you can hear that every week wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. It's called Talking Racing with Mike Ray, and again, he's the nicest guy in racing. And let's go back to that conversation now about the Daytona 500.
Wasn't there a race a couple years back? It may have been 10 years ago now, Mike. This didn't some guy like who had no success in NASCAR or very little at the Cup level win the 500, or am I totally just making that up in my head?
Oh, are you talking about he was a rookie at the time, Trevor Bayne?
He was. Yep, Trevor Bayne.
Okay.
Rookie driver for the 21. He won.
He was really young.
Doing real well. Back in Tennessee, not in the 500 this year, back in Tennessee, his spot got taken over by Ryan Newman in the six car this year. They
would that be the biggest? Would that be the biggest upset in 500 history?
That could possibly be, yes, sir. That could possibly be one.
There was
of the biggest.
One I remember in the late 80s or early 90s. It was Jeff Bodine won some races. So he won it one year, didn't he?
Yes, sir, he did.
Okay, it seems like there was another one that was really odd back in.
There's so many classic races from Daytona, both on the beach and the first race ever that was run on the big track in '59 when Lee Petty won.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We thought that Johnny Beauchamp had won that race, and it took them two or three days to decide it. Thank goodness gracious. We had T. Taylor Warren down there because he was the only person that had a camera that day. You know, his brother-in-law, the doctor, most of those early pictures that you see that are in-flight pictures of the Speedway when it was being constructed, T. Taylor's brother-in-law was a doctor, and they had a plane. And thank goodness T. Taylor was down there in 59 at the start-finish line to catch that shot and record that. Took Big Bill two or three days to figure that one out.
Wow.
This will be another great, great show this year down there. So many good things going on.
Yeah, can you tell the fans listening, I know we talked about it on Talking Racing with Mike Ray, by the way, every Monday for people to listen on anywhere, your favorite podcast, Apple, Stitcher, and the like. Can you talk about very fact of the things that are going on for fans over the last Kyle was telling Mike on the podcast that it's one of my bucket list things to do is to I've never been to the Daytona 500
right.
So maybe we can get our Winnebago for the Sports Objective and go and drive it down there. What do you think?
Oh yeah, that would definitely work. You know, one of our friends, Dave, is down there this evening with his wife. Now things have really changed because he and his wife were sitting today in the old, me and Sandra used to sit in the old field grandstands coming out of four down there. And he and his wife, they've really changed the whole area now. But they had fantastic seats on the front straightaway for tonight's truck race. And they're so fan-friendly down there now and so many things to do that you can spend a whole week or two in Florida and just the surrounding areas checking out things to do. There'll be all kinds of driver autographs and the signings tomorrow all over the Speedway grounds down there where the fans can get involved. This show is coming down tonight here. They've done well not to wipe out the whole field. There goes two more up into the fences as I speak. Two to go. I'm sure the caution flag is out. And we'll see if we can get this truck race finished up tonight down in Daytona. And then they'll have it all cleaned up and ready to go tomorrow for the Xfinity show. And that's going to be a great show tomorrow. And then the 500, of course, on Sunday.
Yeah, the Xfinity series, as everybody calls it. You know, to me, like I say, I'm you know, still stuck in the old days of NASCAR. It's still the Busch Grand National Series. Is it hard for you to remember to call it Xfinity and not want to call it Busch?
Oh, I make so many mistakes. But, you know, that's one thing about it. As long as you're talking about it and you can remember the good times, you know, the old Busch series, on February the 14th, yesterday, a great, great driver and one that's no longer with us. It was Sam Ard's birthday yesterday. So rest in heaven, Sam Ard. He was a great, great Busch Series champion back in the day. And now there's so many young guns that are so talented and coming up through the ranks that tomorrow's Busch race will be another great show. I'll try to pull that up and see what we can't find out about them for everybody on here.
Speaking of drivers that have passed away, and maybe you'll have some more knowledge on this. Drivers that passed away in Busch Series, I remember when Dick Trickle finally won a race in a major NASCAR series and won at the Busch Series. What happened with him and his suicide?
It's a very, very tragic situation with Dick. He had some ailments, and the doctors couldn't figure out what the problem was.
Okay, that's what I heard. That was true.
Yeah.
He couldn't figure out why he was having pain constantly.
Why he was having pains, and I think that he had lost a family member.
Yeah.
And went to the graveyard and took his own life. But back in the day, nobody better than Dick Trickle.
Now, Mike, do you know if anybody contacted his family about maybe wanting to, I mean, I don't want to get too morbid here, but, you know, doing anything, I don't even know if it could be done. I don't want to sound so stupid. I don't know what they did with his organs, but his brain now would be
CTE
scanned for CTE.
You know, I sure don't know anything about that.
You know that's interesting you bring that up, Kyle, because, you know, I remember it very well because I love NASCAR radio and Sirius XM, and I remember that he was on the Speedway. They did a great Dave Moody does a great job with that show in the afternoon, and they did a whole tribute to him where they interviewed him in the sixth of the last hour of that show on a Wednesday. Dave would do that back then. I don't know if he still does because I'm working, but that was on a Wednesday. And on Friday, he committed suicide. Literally, it was like literally not even 2 days.
Yeah,
and it was just amazing because
Dave
Mirror
right there in Greenville.
Yeah,
Dave.
He was joking. It sounds, now that you say that, you make a great point, Kyle, because Wednesday he's joking around with Dave Moody. I know everybody can, you know, put on a good front and all that because you're doing an interview, but it was just weird how not even 48 hours from the time he's joking around with Dave and reminiscing and having a great time, and then he takes his own, they had the 911 call, and he apparently committed suicide in his car, I believe.
You know, David Mirror right there in Greenville.
Yeah.
Visiting family, goes out to his truck after he visited friends, goes out to his truck in his friend's driveway and kills himself, and, you know, finds out they scan his brain afterwards and he has CTE. And I bet you know, Trickle got in a lot of wrecks over the years.
Yeah, Trickle, people don't realize, but they were talking about this, but Trickle was, and Mike, you know this, Trickle was such a...
Hugely successful in the small tracks, yes.
Yeah, he won, I think they said several hundred, I forgot how many races Dick Trickle won,
But he was the kind of guy that was really cool, old school, that I loved, where he was racing several races a week,
yeah,
all across the country. And I forgot the number of wins they said that he recorded, you know, like in his racing career. But it was unbelievable. So you may be on to something there, Kyle. I've never thought about put two and two together, because he, as many races he was in, there's a good chance that that's a possibility. I've never thought about it.
Yeah. Mike was when I think about Dick Trickle and think about his Cup Series, it was, am I remembering right, he drove, was it Hollickmeyer Chevrolet he used to drive for a while?
He did. He drove for Junie Dunleavy in the number 90 Hollickmeyer's Ford Thunderbird, because you
Ford,
know,
okay.
Junie was a big Ford man,
okay,
back in the day. But and Dave's right. Dick had a ton of wins all throughout the Midwest and down south, like you said, he had that one win at Hickory,
yep,
in the Busch Series. Never broke into the winner's circle in Cup, but he was a strong competitor and a great man. But that was good thinking. I'm glad that you brought that point up about him, because I don't know.
Hey, Mike, Bubba had a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and ask.
Yeah. While we're on the topics of wrecks and tragedies in NASCAR, Mike, of course, back in 2001, even though I didn't follow NASCAR very closely, it was one of those things when Dale Sr.'s crash happened down at Daytona. I remember exactly where I was and what I was doing, that kind of thing, and couldn't not stay glued to the TV. Were you down there that year when that happened?
I wasn't down there. My sister-in-law was working. They had she had come up from Palm Bay that morning, and they had a deal down there then where you could work half a day in the concession and then take a half a day off. And she had worked that morning at Daytona at the racetrack out in the concessions, out in the infield somewhere, and then had gotten the rest of the day off to watch a race. But I watched it up here, and she called me that night after Senior's passing. Dark day for the sport, but it sure did improve safety for the sport. You know,
in fact, the doctor who invented the Hans device that would have saved Dale Senior if he'd had that on, a lot of people say he passed away recently, over the last week or so, unfortunately. But he revolutionized racing, as far as a lot of drivers that had tragic deaths, they would have may have had it. You can't say that they would have been saved, but you can say they would have had a better chance to survive crashes.
It was one of those things.
He saved a lot of lives. His brother-in-law Jim Downing was a racer at IMSA back in the day, and he and the doctor got together and worked on the Hans device.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Until they got it right, yeah.
I was wondering how he got the connection. So
yeah, he was a great man and did a world of good for the sport with his invention of the Hans device and there's so many improvements in the cars and trucks and everything that they're racing nowadays.
What do you think? Safer now than they've ever been, I would think.
Yeah, what improvements, Mike? I was going to ask you, because you have more of the expertise than the three of us as far as racing. As we always joke with you, Mike, you've forgotten more than I'll ever know when it comes to racing. But what safety, what things do you know of that may be coming, or things you'd like to see NASCAR have?
NASCAR, they continue to do a great job, and they've got such a great R&D department in Charlotte, in the Mooresville area. Like this evening, the roof flaps that are on the trucks, on the cars, that help keep all the automobiles on the ground, that was a great innovation. The Hans device, the full containment seats now. This young man that just won, just crossed the stripe down in Daytona. great young man. Hill finished first. Enfinger was second. Russ Chastain was third. Boyd fourth. Matt Crafton fourth. Rameau was sixth. Timothy Peters from Danville, Virginia, from Providence, North Carolina, finished seventh in the Solid Rock Carriers truck this evening.
Danville, Virginia is home of Mike Ray.
Yeah, they tore up a bunch of stuff tonight, Dave. I saved Miss Hot Rod a lot of money this evening, not being down. I'm telling you, man.
Did you mention Providence, North Carolina?
I did mention Providence, North Carolina.
Suburb of Danville, in between Reidsville and Danville.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, the I dated a girl from Providence one time. She was a lunatic.
I know a great stock car driver from Providence named Timothy Peters. Or Danville. He goes by either spot.
I'd go with Danville. I wouldn't claim Providence.
You know,
what's wrong with Providence?
Well, that girl was my only reference.
Well, he had that girl in Providence.
So that's my only reference to Providence.
Yeah, all my exes live in Providence. So. Mike, I wanted to, before we let you go, I know you've been generous with your time, set the stage for us. So Mike Joy, I know that it's going to be on Fox for TV, and of course, if you're like
it'll be great, yeah. I watched the countdown today so we could get on tonight and talk and have fun, but Mike Joy will be doing your play-by-play. Jeff Gordon will be there. Their whole team is strong. The Walter brothers will be there. Like them or not, they bring a lot to the table. I tweeted DW today and asked him if he thought we'd have a race on Sunday or would it be follow the leader like it was yesterday. And he said that with 40 cars running, and what I saw today in the Xfinity practice, now this truck race, they wiped out a big portion of the field. But I think the 500 Sunday is going to be a great show. It's anybody's pick. Anybody can win it, Dave. You can go with the favorite, Harvick, or you could pick a dark horse starting on the last row. But the way the 500 ended, it'll be wide open. And I hope everybody has a great time Sunday at the 500.
It's going to be interesting. And, of course, I want to remind folks again, they can listen to you every Monday on the Sports Objective Network. He has his own show now, because he's that great, and that's Talking Racing with Mike Ray. Mike, appreciate you went longer than we anticipated, but you're such a kind person. And Charlie Hansen, of the general manager for Southern National, and of course the owner of Wake County Speedway, calls Mike, I have to give him credit, calls Mike the nicest man in racing. What do you think, Kyle and Bubba?
Absolutely, Mike's always been a good guy.
So,
guys have a good evening. Thank you for having me on tonight, Dave. I thoroughly enjoyed it. And thank you guys for all your help on both the Sports Objective and Talking Racing with Mike Ray. Sure do appreciate it. So good to hear from you again and talk with you and everything. And thank you for all your hard work.
And we'll talk Monday. We'll have a recap of folks. We'll have a recap of the Daytona 500 and all the racing around the nation with Mike Ray. So make sure you join us for that. And until next time, you've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast.
You've been listening to the Sports Objective Podcast. Join us next time as the guys will be objective, and the objective is sports.